Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Got a double dip tonight. We should give our picks. You were 2-1 on Who Do You Love?
That's right.
I was 3-0 on Who Do You Love? Maybe people should go the other way, since as a twofer, we were 5-1.
We're due for some losses.
What do we got? The Saints are 7-point favorites, I believe, over the Texans. I'm trying to lay off that one.
Texans leading here by one, 37 seconds left. Breece drops back, looking under pressure. He throws that ball. It's caught Ted Ginn, and he'll be taken down around the 40-yard line. Three-man rush again. He throws. That ball is caught. Mike Thomas across midfield. Quick throw. That ball is caught. And down on the field is Ted Ginn to the 40-yard line. And the Saints call timeout. And with 2 seconds remaining, it's a long field goal to be 58 yards. Ball spotted on the right hash, 40-yard line. Spot and holder down. The kick is up. It's good! It's good! 58 yards. Will Lutz with the game winner. Saints win it. 30-28.
What do the Broncos land to the Raiders? 3?
It depends on when you got it. Now, of course, AB's gone, so Denver's a full 3-point favorite on the road.
I'm taking the Broncos. It's house money. I say I'm playing some of the house money tonight on the Broncos.
Wrong. Wrong.
There's nothing like opening night. There's nothing like Monday night football. An arch rival, the Broncos, across the way in their traveling white. The Raiders in their silver and black, my man. 3rd down and 2. Carr drops back into the gun. Jacobs is off to his left. 3 receivers are off to the right. Protection, end zone, diving catch. Touchdown, Raiders! Tyrell Williams. They take the opening kickoff, and they stick it down the Broncos' throat. Pillaging just for fun.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun.
Raiders win their opener. Kansas City, you got next. 24-16, Raiders.
He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
All right, let's do this, Mac and Parkins, on The Score. Say what you just said to Tanny in the talkback on the air.
Sometimes he just shows off with his audio wizardry, doesn't he? I mean, that's masterful. Very, very well done. Musical choices, all the drops. Great to hear Brent Musburger doing Raiders games. He's the perfect voice of the Oakland Raiders as they finish their run in California, isn't he?
Big game, Brent.
Yeah.
I got to say, you got to be listening at 2. Sometimes the transition we get to a little bit later, like 2:08 today. But just to hear Tanny. Even if you don't like me, and how could you not? Don't
Knock
like Matt.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Yeah. Matt, just listen for Tanny's open at 2-5.
They're very, very good.
They really are. I'm with you, man. Like, I always like more football. It's just, I feel like it would take away from that Sunday slate if we had 2 Monday night games every week.
Yeah, and I might feel similarly. And as soon as you bring up the reality that there's another one waiting for us or sitting for us on Thursday night, you're right. It probably would feel like too much. It's a nice novelty the way it is. So you've talked me out of it. See how malleable? There's a good Spiegel word. He's malleable. I can be. You need to be the same way. You need to be that way about the Chiefs quarterback and the Texans quarterback. When you see the MVP, Pat Mahomes, doing wonderful things, you can't immediately flash to the Bears taking Mitch Trubisky. You can't. You got to stop that.
Okay, so logically, I get it, right? Pat Mahomes, the Chiefs had a beat on him that the rest of the league did not. Texas Tech quarterbacks, Big 12 quarterbacks had not yet transferred to the NFL
right.
In that way. They were ahead of the league on that. Watson or Trubisky were the top-ranked people in most experts' opinion. Ryan Pace, the trade-up does not bother me. He bought insurance on getting his guy. I know that still bothers a lot of Bears fans. I don't even care about the trade anymore. It's a couple of mid-round picks. I know one ended up being used for Alvin Kamara a couple of trades later, but they had Tariq Cohen, they got Tariq Cohen, so he had his guy. I'd rather have Kamara, obviously, but those are shooting darts, you know, throwing darts in the middle. I just can't help myself thinking about what this team with this defense would look like with one of those two quarterbacks.
And,
I can't help
it. And you're not alone, because while I don't spend as much time on social media as you do, I see it every time one of those two guys does something wonderful. People have, that's their reaction to it. That's what people want to, maybe not want to, but can't help themselves but flash to.
Yeah.
The reality, and the worse it goes for Mitch Trubisky, the more it's going to irritate people. So let's hope that he rebounds here in week two and represents himself like he was doing at the second half of last year against the great Vic Fangio, the unbeatable headmaster of the Denver Broncos.
You say that so mockingly. I mean,
I do say it mockingly. Yeah, I think players play games. I think, you know,
I agree.
Well, yeah, and yeah, you do for the most part, I think. And you know, when the Bears lost him on the heels of having one of the best defenses in the league, in some categories they were first. Everybody getting all, oh my God, is there going to be such a big drop off to Coach Pags? I mean, they lost. Are you serious? Look at this defense.
Personnel matters.
I'm not saying an idiot can coach them, but a guy with some NFL chops like Chuck Pagano, who's been a head coach in the league too, is going to do just fine. I think we've got this fixation, and I'm not just saying it's this group. I'm saying historically, we have given way too much credit and way too much blame in many cases as well to offensive and defensive coordinators. The players are the ones actually who go out there and make the difference.
I agree with that, obviously. I just think when you – there was a survey on some of the top, you know, offensive minds in the game. Who's the toughest defensive coach to game plan against? And Vic Fangio gets more votes than anybody else. He's clearly good at it. Like, he's clearly an asset, right? He's clear. If this was baseball and it was war, right? Defensive coordinators above replacement, he'd be one
Bill
of Belichick's
the best. Bill Belichick's a good answer to that question.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, but when I think it was Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, and Doug Peterson all vote and say, you know, that it was Vic Fangio when they did, they profiled those three teams. I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to what those guys have to say and assume that Vic Fangio is good. Even if you don't think that he is the best, and sure, choose Belichick. He's got a huge body of work. Vic Fangio is very good at it.
Yeah, I believe that.
And he will be. He should be best against the Bears.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
he should have better institutional knowledge of the Bears than any other team that he's playing against.
Yeah, but I think any defensive coordinator who puts on a few games with Mitch Trubisky in him can see that this guy doesn't handle adversity very well, so let's maybe throw some stuff at him and mix up some things and knock him on his ass a little bit, make him play quarterback.
Yeah, I think it matters. I think it will get overblown naturally, and it's just, oh, the defensive coordinator is going up against the offensive guy, and he used to be on his staff, so it'll be a huge topic of conversation. But honestly, how do you watch Deshaun do what he did, or Mahomes do what he does regularly, 300 passing yards in the first half and MVP last year?
Right.
How do you not go to that place in your head?
I couldn't get out of the way of having the same type of reaction for a long time watching Dan Marino do what he did for the Miami Dolphins, because so I can relate to your peril here. The Bears had a chance to draft Marino in 83. He would have been their second first-round pick. Oddly enough, 83 indeed. His college roommate, Jimbo Covert, was their first-round pick in 83. But they took a wide receiver from Tennessee named Willie Gault. Instead of Dan Marino. They didn't want to draft a quarterback. They just drafted McMahon a year before. So anytime I saw Dan Marino do something for the Dolphins, I flashed to how miserable the Bears have been. They can't keep their quarterback healthy. That was problematic. And how average of a ball player Willie Gault was. So I can empathize and sympathize with you here. But it doesn't do you any good. I mean,
it doesn't do you any good. It's just, at least in that situation, you could say, oh, they had McMahon from the year before. They weren't in the market for a quarterback. Why this one is so tough is you had the first crack at him.
Yes, you did.
Deshaun Watson. I know. Everybody knew him. Right? This wasn't the Adam Shaheen of quarterback prospects. This was the number one quarterback recruit out of high school who played for Clemson, who played Bama twice in national championships, who had like 1,000 combined yards between two national championship games that everybody knew, everybody loved. Myles Garrett goes one. You trade up to two. You need a quarterback. You've passed on quarterbacks or you haven't traded up in previous drafts, right? You didn't go get Carson Wentz or Jared Goff or Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston. And you take Trubisky.
Boy, I'm sure hoping that this Sunday goes differently for the Bears. Because it sounds to me like this is going to be... Because I don't think you are on an island here. I think you speak for a lot of people who are feeling similarly. And you're grinding it out over this sort of thing. And you just were reminded last night, even though the Texans lost, how that guy also would have been a better option than the one they chose.
Yeah, and
so, I mean, you can't get out of... You can't get away from it.
You can't. And you... I know I try to put myself in the situation where, okay, passing on Mahomes is not as egregious, even though he clearly would go number one now because of what I said earlier, Texas Tech and Big 12 quarterbacks, and you know there were some questions about him. He was drafted into a perfect situation, could sit behind Alex Smith, learn from one of the smartest quarterbacks. Andy Reid has Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Mahomes would not be as developed if he was drafted by
Andy Reid tree.
Exactly. John Fox and Dowell Loggins. But Watson would be.
Yeah.
And then you go to this place where I think most Bears fans think that Ryan Pace now is actually pretty good at his job, right? Able to build this defense, execute the Khalil Mack trade, mid-round picks that are home runs, drafts Cody Whitehead.
Well, and I think vindicated now for first-round pick Leonard Floyd, too.
Correct. I mean, so you Leonard Floyd, Cody Whitehair, Eddie Jackson, the decision to match on Kyle Fuller, only signing contracts in that last John Fox year that were not long-term, so he didn't tie himself to any bad money. Tariq Cohen, the Allen Robinson, hiring Matt Nagy when he had full autonomy.
How about just building depth?
Yeah.
They could withstand an injury here or there. You know, this roster was totally barren when John Fox was here.
It's been a total transformation over Ryan Pace's tenure, so it's... This just, is it a, he has a blind spot with kickers.
Yeah.
Which, okay, maybe you can overcome it. You can't overcome a blind spot with quarterback.
No, you really can't. And I'm hoping, I agree with everything you said, but I pump the brakes on the offensive line part of this because there's been a lot of money committed to a group that also is unproven and didn't look very good at all in its first chance to do so last Thursday.
It didn't, but I mean, it's...
I'm hoping they're not the Cubs on this overvaluing young talent like Cody Whitehair, who just signed, what, a $55 million extension or something like that?
Yeah, it was, I think, 52. Is the second highest guaranteed money to a guard.
The guy starts well. Albert Elmora was an example. Oh, we got Elmora. We got half. And you know what? They were wrong about those guys. And now that's precluding the Cubs from being an important team here in a part of the calendar where you want them to be. I hope the Bears weren't wrong on those offensive line contracts they paid out. They don't look good right now.
No.
Because that was one of the biggest weaknesses of their football team Sunday or Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm... On that, I'm trying to do evaluation by more than just one game with all of this stuff, right? We've seen Cody Whitehair be a Pro Bowler at center, and now he's changed positions.
Yeah, but what are we all asking the Bears to do more of offensively right now? Even the guys who hate this type of talk, people want them to run the ball more.
Yeah, win the line of scrimmage, run
the ball. Win the line of scrimmage. Can they do that? Did they show us they could last year?
No.
They didn't.
And they didn't show you could do it last week.
Certainly not.
No question. I think that we would we, maybe not. Ryan Pace, good at his job, bad at his job. I would vote good.
I would vote good also, but you know, we're pointing out with an 0-1 start and the first loss being to the Packers and the Vikings looking good, pointing out all of the negatives today because it's going to be one of those weeks, it appears.
We said it at the time, but I think his tenure will be defined by number 10.
Yeah.
That's just the grim reality of it. If you know, because when he hits, but his misses are pretty big misses. You know, you look at number, you know, look at Shaheen too with the miss. You know, you see him out there, you're like, what is this guy doing out there? And then, you know, I just think he's tied to Mitch forever, and he acknowledged that when he traded up for him.
Does that doom him then if Trubisky isn't going to be a good quarterback? Does that then say, okay, he put too much into this? Forget everything else? I mean, is the mistake so egregious with the quarterback that would wind up costing him his job, or should it cost him his job? I don't know the answer to that. I'm just throwing it out there.
I, I don't either. I think a lot of that will depend on how the next couple of years go in terms of wins, right? If he stacks three double-digit win seasons based on a defense that he built,
right.
I would say that he probably gets to draft another quarterback. It's
tough for me to, as colossal as the mistake might wind up being, it's tough for me to want to see a guy hang for it when he builds the best defense in the league and they do some good things offensively. Except for the most important one.
And that's the thing, too. You know, Mitch was the furniture that came with the house. You know, he was here before Nagy was here. So I would like to see Nagy have a little influence on who they're going to take and who he can develop going forward. Because I think they should definitely draft someone this year.
God. Oh, jeez, Terry.
Here's the thing, too.
Because Ryan Pace can save it if they pick the right guy under Nagy.
Ryan Pace
said that you should take a quarterback every year and then has failed to do that. Now, four out of his 5 years he's been here?
Yeah, studsy in for Shep, everybody. But yeah, you know, you're right. And he's doing it somewhat because of he trades away draft picks to trade up, and he's been rebuilding the team. That's the old Ron Wolf principle. When you have your franchise quarterback, you always take a flyer on finding the next one in the middle and late round. But that's easy to say when you have Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Let's all take a deep breath. Oh. It's Tuesday.
They need to play a game.
Something's got, man.
Just saying. Like, I don't know how people watch that and not think about
Slow down, everybody. We're firing Ryan Pace one game into the season. And we're playing sound bites from other sad NFL cities yesterday laughing at them. And here we are 4 or 5 days after the fact. Everything Deshaun Watson ever does is going to kill us.
Week to week league. That's why we love it.
And listen, and I admit my bias on this one. He's my favorite college quarterback ever.
Like, so boy.
Danny, I'm with you. I wanted him coming out of that draft, too.
I understand the hurt now. Now that you guys are giving me that information, I figured that was kind of the case with Park and Studsy, you too, huh?
Of course. He's my favorite college. I watched
him for 2 years rip apart Alabama in the national championship game, and I was like, yes, I want that guy.
He killed everybody.
Yes. No matter what was thrown at him, he overcame it. It's like, I wanted him so bad.
Beat Lamar Jackson on the road at Louisville. Beat Jameis at Florida State. Beat Oklahoma. Beat Ohio State. Beat Bama.
Single-handedly beat Alabama.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Single-handedly.
He was incredible. I said he should have been taking over Myles Garrett. But
bring on Atlanta. Bring on Dallas.
Yeah, exactly, man. Oh, God, it hurts. All right, this therapy's going great. It's Mac and Parkins on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Deshaun Watson, quarterback, Clemson.
Oh, that's the most triggered I've been since I've worked at the score.
Oh, I wish we would have been recording you there. That was so good.
I didn't even see it coming. I thought you were going to hit me with the sad trombone ski. Oh.
Man, Studsy sounds an awful lot like Shep, doesn't he? I've never noticed that before. Some people probably thinking,
you just sit
Shep
in that chair.
Today, yeah.
You become Cole City's finest.
Nick Shepkowski. Oh, I can't even speak to
him. He's been
guys.
Called
there
Nick before by great men around here, so you're fine. Big Doug called him Nip, I think, one time.
That's fine. Man.
Nick Shepkowski. There you go.
This hour on the score brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing. Schedule your free consultation today.
The tone that you've got going on today. We weren't even covering this topic, and this is a text that just arrives. Cohen is way overrated. Where the hell is Anthony Miller? Our offensive line is average.
So that's just someone who hates all of Ryan Pace's picks.
It's like, Tariq Cohen takes a hit out of nowhere. You know,
yeah.
It's tough to be rated when you don't get a carry.
Yeah, that wasn't great. Listen, I get it. And by the way, I also want to make it clear. I still think it's in play that Mitch ends up being good.
All right, so let's hang on to that. Or we could just keep beating the hell out of him and continue to boo him, because that's so, you know, helpful.
No, I think it's in play. I think it's in play that he can be good. I don't know how good. And week one was downright terrifying because he should not have looked like he regressed that much. That's all I can say. That's all I can say.
It was awful.
Because there's just poise in these other guys that you don't consistently see from them. That's a fact.
Hey, we've done a lot of kissing of the rings of the two quarterbacks in the first game last night, and rightfully so. But how about a bouquet in the direction of Alvin Kamara?
He's amazing.
Oh, my God, did he put on a demonstration last night.
One of the picks traded away to move up from 3-2. I'm just being honest.
Dad Trombonski.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
Physical, just lowering the shoulder and hit and spin and keep the legs driving and drag the next guy with you.
He's great.
Joe Tessitore loved the balance.
Oh, yes, he did. I immediately thought of those Pittsburgh announcers when he was talking about balance, the Yu Darvish comparisons. That's what was it Greg Brown? That's the guy's name. He was the Cardinals announcer talking about Yu Darvish. Yeah.
The balance.
Shannon. Well, you know, in those countries where they're from, that's it's part of the culture there. They're real big on balance. They go out at sunrise and, you know, wear a pair.
Balance, that's something you don't hear in our world. But on the Pacific Rim, that's used all the time.
That's right. That was Shep's train ride one Sunday night, if I remember right. The summer of 19. It's all coming back to me now.
Ah, the Pacific Rim.
The gems you find.
God, is that good. Yeah.
Yeah, but Alvin Kamara is just a terrific football player. Sorry that's where that took you.
I get the same.
I'm trying to compliment someone who played well in the NFL this week, and it doesn't take you to a draft mistake Ryan Pace made.
How about DeAndre Hopkins?
That would work.
He had nothing on that, right? Yeah, well, he's the guy that I also, when we talk about best receivers of this era, and you always say Antonio Brown is the best receiver in football, Hopkins is the guy that I most often go to because his production is similar to Brown and Julio and Odell Beckham, and he's had Brock Osweiler and TJ Yates.
And that's, yes. Was he there with Yates, too? Goes back quite a few years now.
Almost positive that he has caught passes from TJ Yates.
That might be right. Yeah, Yates quarterbacked them in their first playoff win over the Bengals 19-7 when America discovered J.J. Watt.
Yeah, he
wasn't seen last night, but he was very impressive in that game. Yeah, I've come around on DeAndre Hopkins. If you don't believe this guy is at the top or right there near it, then you're not watching enough football. He's amazing.
He's unbelievable.
He's absolutely amazing talent.
I think, you know, Antonio Brown has the best production over the span. Julio is, I think, the most physically gifted of the number one athletes. Michael Thomas, by the way, I saw Kyle Brandt from your show Good Morning Football. He said that he thinks that Michael Thomas is going to break Michael Irvin's record for receptions in a season.
Mm-hmm. I know he's bullish on him. Yeah, yeah, I'm not so sure I'm ready to go there, but it's a good football team.
There's the caliber of number one receivers in the NFL is pretty spectacular these days. Right? If Mike Evans is the 7th or 8th best receiver in football, it's a pretty deep class.
Very quiet in week one was awful. Mike Evans. Yeah, I think 2 catches for 29 yards, but fortunately I was smart enough to not start him. That's ballsy in week one, huh?
You didn't start Mike Evans against the Niners?
Mike Evans, no, I didn't.
Wow, why?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Didn't like it?
Yeah, well, he practiced a couple of times last week.
I don't like it.
He missed a little bit of practice last week, and then he practiced, and then he missed a walkthrough, I think, Friday. But they said he wasn't 100%.
Wow, good sit by
and,
you.
And, yeah, I sat him.
Good sit.
I sat him.
Who'd you play over him?
I played T.Y. Hilton over him. Yeah, he had a couple of touchdowns.
And if someone out there is saying, how could you have T.Y. Hilton on your bench? We have only an 8-team fantasy league. So star-studded rosters in the Mackey Top League.
Yeah, top points in the I think we get $25 for winning the week.
Something like that.
Yeah. So how about that?
Nice.
Yeah, that assures me a two-digit performance in week two by chirping about it today.
I know something about those. John Morosi, Major League Baseball insider, will join us to tell us if any Cubs executives are going to be the new general manager of the Red Sox and where we go from here. It's John Morosi next on The Score.
Hey, John boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
Hello to a new adventure. Living my life in Michigan, my home state, surrounded by family and friends.
Columnist for MLB.com.
I
think that with the White Sox, to see Moncada, the consistency of his work was really important. I think they're going to hit.
Out of here! Yoan Moncada drills it!
MLB Network Insider.
I think Theo had his worth. He would have no reason to begin a season with this framework of urgency and some pretty candid commentary and rhetoric about his own team if there was not some teeth behind it.
October starts in March.
Fox Sports Baseball contributor.
Yeah. Fox Sports Baseball God. John Paul Morosi.
I'm a God. I'm not the God.
John Morosi.
How about this for a homecoming?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Quick correction. I said Michael Irvin with the NFL single-season reception record. It was Marvin Harrison, 143. Kyle Brandt thinking Michael Thomas is going to break it this year. Got my Michael's wires crossed. I apologize. John Morosi joins us now from Fox Sports and MLB Network on the Altamonte Ford Hotline. John, it's rough times in Cubs land. Can you say anything to make us feel better?
Well, Danny and Dan, good afternoon. What I would say to you to make you feel better is that when you look at the standings and you consider the current structure of the playoff format, the Cubs, if the playoffs began on this day, they'd be part of them. They would be the second wild card. Now, yes, all that would earn you would be a game at Nationals Park against Max Scherzer, more than likely. But I do understand the concern over Bryant, over Baez. But at least, as long as you're part of the dance, you've got a shot.
Well, and last night, I mean, the kid arrives, the 2018 draft pick, the first from the draft class, the little fella, Nico, and just magic happens. He has three base hits, one to each field, four runs batted in, plays a credible shortstop. And, John, I couldn't help but flash to the scene in Moneyball when Jonah Hill takes a very dejected Brad Pitt playing Billy Bean and showing him the fat kid at the minor league level who homered. And said, isn't our game worth romancing sometimes? That was a neat moment, despite all of the other stuff that's gone on with the Cubs.
Well, it was. And to your point, Nico Hoerner, of course, a really good baseball pedigree. He played his college baseball at Stanford. He's been under the bright lights before. In that context, I know it's not the National League Central and the wild card race, but Pac-12 baseball in Stanford is for that level, very, very high intensity and a lot of eyeballs on that league. So he's played in big games before. It looked very comfortable, I thought. It's got to help out, of course. He opens up on the West Coast there where he's from. He grew up in the Oakland area. So I thought he looked very much at ease last night, as you point out. Dan, I thought looked comfortable in the field. I like the fact that he's batting sixth. He's in a good spot to pick up RBIs. Of course, he gets four of them last night. Overall, for a Cubs team that needed some good news, without Bryant in the lineup, and, of course, Bodie playing third base last night, Hoerner at short, Zobrist at second, this is not how this team envisioned looking even 6 weeks ago,
right.
But here they are. And as we talked about, they are in a spot to make the playoffs if the season ended today. I'm a little concerned about just how well the Diamondbacks are playing right now. They're playing exceptionally well. A lot of momentum there. They're playing free and easy. And I think we're about to find out now just how much the Cubs rely on Javier Baez, because it's not just the production, as has been said by Mark DeRosa, my colleague at MLB Network and others. He gives them such energy on and off the field that losing your identity, the heart and soul of your club at this time of the year is potentially devastating for the Cubs.
John Morosi from MLB Network and Fox Sports is our guest. The backdrop for this question, John, is around here, sometimes it seems like if you win a championship, you've got lifetime job security. Maybe Kenny Williams on the south side, or, you know, building statues for guys on the north side when they win, and talking about, oh, we'll just retire everybody's number. And that's juxtaposed with the Red Sox firing their general manager less than 1 year after winning a World Series. What is an explanation that makes sense to you as to why that move happened when it did?
Well, Danny, it's a really interesting question, and I think for me, one of the big storylines there is the demands of ownership and what they wanted to see out of their club and what they want to see for the next 5 years. When I take a step back at this decision and examine it objectively, I see that Dave Dombrowski, if they wanted to go all in and win a championship, which they did last year, he wins a championship, that Dave Dombrowski was probably one of the best people in the world to do that. You want to spend big. You want to make bold moves and really manage the roster in that way. Dave Dombrowski is about as good as there is in the game at figuring out how to do that and be a big market GM and win the championship. He is not as good at building a sustainable, cost-controlled club. And while it would have behooved Red Sox ownership to realize that second half of things a little earlier and maybe cautioned against the Eovaldi extension and the Chris Sale extension, but simply once it got to the point where they are right now, which is not winning at a postseason level, and their farm system is not very good because they've had to make a bunch of trades here in the last couple of years, they needed someone else to come in and strategize differently for how they can build a sustainable player development-based club in the way that the Yankees and the Astros have done. And the Red Sox, guys, I would tell you that they've got potentially a rough few years ahead. They've been able to, at times, yes, they had some peaks and valleys, but they were always able to recover because they had a very strong farm system. Right after the 13 championship, they had the tough year in 2014, but there came Mookie Betts. Bogarts was already in place. Bradley was already on the way. They simply do not have that kind of player right now in the upper levels of the farm system, and so they're getting exposed, and they need someone else to come in and, I believe, organize their farm system in a better way, because one of the biggest things that's happening right here with the Red Sox is they're spending a ton of money and they're not winning. In general, in this profession, I've long believed, and a lot of people agree with me, as a GM, you got two jobs. Save your boss's money when possible and win. And the Red Sox right now are doing neither of those things, and that is what put Dave Dombrowski's job security on the line.
John, I read a column on MLB.com last night, 17 potential successors for Dombrowski. One of them is Jason McLeod, Cubs Senior Vice President of Player Development and Amateur Scouting. The other, Cubs President Theo Epstein. Anything to those possibilities?
I would say it's too early to rule anything out. I think, Dan, that and we'll see. Theo, it's remarkable now that he's been with the Cubs almost a decade. And I think it would have to be a very specific set of circumstances based on what kind of authority he would have, oversight. Would it be partial ownership of the club? I'm speculating here, but the point is it would have to be a pretty special set of circumstances for Theo to be interested in doing something like that, especially because he's already still under contract with the Cubs. I, as many things that had to line up in the direction of Theo Epstein going to the Cubs to begin with would have to now line up in the opposite direction for him to go to the Red Sox. I can't rule it out. I wouldn't say that there's no chance of it happening at this point in time because certainly his name comes to mind. I'm sure it did for a lot of people yesterday. I would just caution that a lot of different approvals would have to occur there for that to happen, and I think it's probably unlikely, but not impossible. And I would say, frankly, the same thing about Jed Hoyer. I'd say the same thing about Jason McLeod. This is one of the eminent jobs in the profession of being a sports executive, and I think if anybody in the baseball industry right now says, nope, not interested, don't even call me, I'm not going to listen to you, I'm not so sure I'd believe that. So I think that this is the kind of job, you name your plum major coaching job in any sport, coaching the Lakers, coaching the Bulls, and these big-time jobs with the great iconic franchises, these are jobs that I think attract a lot of different people.
What's the single best storyline down the stretch of the baseball season?
To me, Danny, it's how ready are the Dodgers to win the World Series. This, to me, the month of October is going to be defined by, will the Dodgers finally get there and break through? They've gotten so close the last couple of years, and right now, guys, their pitching is not fully ready. Hyunjin Ryu has had to get skipped this week because he has really shown a lot of signs of fatigue the last four times out. The Dodgers are vulnerable, and that's why as dark as things look right now for the Cubs, with Baez being out and Bryant having this knee issue, it's really troubling right now for him. This is, I'm not going to say a wide-open National League, but it is way more wide open than I thought it was going to be, and way more wide open than I thought it was going to be a month ago. This is a league that, in my opinion, is ripe for a surprise. The Cardinals can win it. They've pitched exceptionally well since the end of July. They've got, I believe, the fewest runs allowed since the start of August. They've got a chance to win the World Series. The Braves have a chance to win the World Series. I think whoever wins the National League wild card game will have a legitimate chance to topple the Dodgers in the first round because of the state of the Dodger pitching, specifically Ryu and Kenley Jansen. So it is, to me, a fascinating National League. I think that, for right now, that side of the bracket, to me, I think is really captivating, and it all goes back to the team in L.A. So much regular season success. They're about to win their umpteenth consecutive division title going back to 2013, but they have to find a way to win the ultimate victory at the Fall Classic.
How crazy did you get celebrating Michigan's overtime victory over Army Saturday?
There were some nervous moments at the house. I was watching with my kids. They were a little more wrapped up in it than I was. They've got to figure out the offense. Patterson doesn't look fully healthy to me, just based on my read of the situation. We'll see how McCafferty maybe comes in and gets some action. They've got 2 weeks on to rest up before they play Wisconsin. Yeah. As we know, it's going to be a competitive Big Ten. That Badgers game in a couple weeks is going to be an excellent football game. Cannot wait to watch it.
You're the best, John. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, John. My pleasure, guys. Look forward to our next conversation. Thanks for everything.
You bet.
That is John Morosi from Fox Sports and the MLB Network. I didn't watch most of the game, was getting ready for the wedding in the hotel as fourth quarter and overtime was happening. I was rooting hard for the Service Academy.
Yeah, absolutely. Michigan has had, for the last 20 years, they have had so many close calls at home and have lost some games. Didn't Appalachian State beat them in Ann Arbor a few years ago?
Yeah, the D1AA upset. Yeah.
The Mountaineers.
I've never been to the Big House, and everybody tells me it's overrated.
Exceptionally overrated. You still should experience it, though, because it's cool but overrated.
It's close. I don't know how I never made it there with Big Game Tom or something back in the day, but we never made it.
Dug into the earth. You think 110,000 people, it's going to be this gigantic, impressive structure, but it's kind of sunken into the earth. You drive by, and it's like, where's the stadium? Well, it's down there.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
And it's very, very blah. It's just a gigantic bowl. There's nothing special about it, really.
You know what I think is funny, though, how their basketball arena is right next to it? It looks so insignificant compared to this massive football stadium. I just thought it was really funny I went there.
That's the priorities of the university, football school.
I mean, I'm glad I've seen a few games there, interviewed Bo Schembechler there, Keith Jackson of ABC Sports when I was a young scribe for a suburban publication. But, it's not special.
I've never been to a 100,000-person stadium.
Go to Ohio State or go to Bama.
Yeah.
I've been to both of those, and those are fantastic venues.
Yeah, I've done Camp Randall, I've done Notre Dame, I've done Death Valley, I've done the Rose Bowl for my big college stadiums. But
Horseshoe's the deal, man. It is for a driver, if you don't mind. It's from here 6 hours, probably.
Yeah, that's doable.
You
guys are up for a trip to Fargo, North Dakota. The Fargo Dome is actually amazing.
All right, Stutzy.
Hang up on yourself.
I'm here for your FCS Shep, stadium Shep knowledge. Jr. Just
yeah.
Know.
Okay. By the way, listen to Shep's college football podcast. Yeah, there we go. Wow. That doesn't get brought out often.
Fargo's not the worst city in the world. The Fargo Dome, it's fine.
You're already overselling it.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to push back on some football narratives, babe, that everyone is talking about with these star players. We're going to get into it coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.